Hey, welcome to another edition. I know, yet they just keep coming. They won't stop. It can't be held back. The power is on. What can I tell you? John St. Augustine joining you on what usually would be a Wednesday rant. And I have the bit in my mouth. You know, I'm clamping down on that. There's things I want to talk about, but I realize in my discernment that's probably a waste of time. I could get some gingivitis going and my gums would be bleeding and it'd be a great gnashing of teeth, but it wouldn't change an effing thing. And the things that I'd like to talk about usually have to do with human behavior and politics and how those are intertwined and all the crap that goes on and the things that get our undies in a bundle and the things that make us lash out at each other and forget that we're human beings. So busy as a human doing. Doing everything we can to push each other apart and be right instead of happy. So while this is so difficult, this is like a great test for me. I try to imagine in my mind when I'm doing these podcasts to a greater or lesser degree that I'm on the air live somewhere. WGN in Chicago, CBS in New York, Oprah Radio, whatever it may have been. Oprah Radio wasn't live, but you get my drift. And that there's all these people listening, and I have always maintained that I wanted to do something different, that I just didn't want to beat the political drum or the sports drum, and I've talked about this stuff before, because everybody does that. It's just too low-level fruit. It's easy to knock that stuff around and jaw on it, and it comes to nothing. So since I started in radio, I've always gone up the down staircase. I've gone in the outdoor. I'm looking for the sense buried in the senseless. And there hasn't been a time, I don't think, let me think, nope, can't think of it, that I've been alive, that there is more obvious bullshit buried in the absurdities that keeps flowing out than I've ever seen, ever. Now, there's a like an old adage, like, you know, you want to push things right to the edge and see what happens. The problem is the edge keeps moving. And that can be done personally, professionally, politically, religiously, you name it. We always think we get to the brink of something, and next thing you know, the brink moves a little bit. Next thing we're on the brink again, and the brink moves a little bit. And so there really is no edge anymore. There may have been at one time. If it was, might have been around 1804. I don't know. But we keep moving the edge. And so what looks like we're hanging on the precipice of doom and gloom, we just kind of build a little ladder under that and slide it over and make it work for another day. The thing about, I'm going to really work around this the best I can. Kids, I'm not kidding. I am so aware of the fact that if I just talk about the stuff everybody else is beating into the ground, that I really don't know that I can lend any more thought process to it than has already been expanded on a jillion times. So I would just be, you know, jumping in the chorus of lemmings, diving over the cliff, looking at someone's hairy little behind in front of me. And I don't want to do that. Life's too short for that. There's nothing there. It comes up next, this horrible tragedy averted, or, you know, upheaval in politics, and next, well, there's the next thing. So it's just this constant carrot and a stick, and I really work very hard not to do that. I have taken basically to whenever I have TV on, except if I've, you know, selected a movie or we're sitting down to watch a movie we got at the library, what have you, I don't listen with the sound on. And there's a couple reasons for that. Number one is TV is so less offensive when the sound's off. Have you noticed that? It takes a little time to get used to it, but as a sports guy myself, I realized at some point, maybe 10, 12 years ago, how ridiculous it was to turn on a football game, for example, or a baseball game, and have two guys or three people, whoever it be, a couple guys and a woman in the booth, whoever, doesn't matter, getting paid millions of dollars to tell me what I'm already looking at. There's a foul ball. Really? I didn't see that. I'm sorry. Yeah. So it's, I don't know where that bridge crossed for me. It was kind of like, you know, it's like when you go into the dollar store and ask for a price check, it started to not make any sense after a while. So I was watching these games, and and then when you put three people in a booth, everybody's got to talk, and it gets just, no. So I turn it off, and so when I'll watch most games with the sound off. especially if Joe Buck is announcing. But anyway, other than that, I leave it off. And you can watch any news program and tell what's going on. You don't have to listen to what they're saying. And I think I broke this down, or I found the research that breaks down human communication. You know, like 55% of our communication is body language. So you can turn on television and see exactly what's going on and not have to listen to the jabbering that comes out. And, you know, the constant bloviation, pontification, and verbal expectoration. How's that for a dollar word? So I keep the TV on, but the sound off, and especially when it comes to politics. And it's a whole lot easier. It just kind of rolls off. Next, we live in a nation that loves reality shows. It's all because a bunch of writers went on strike about 15, 18 years ago. It's all their fault that we had to come up with things, you know, these ridiculous reality shows, and they're highly produced. And like The People on the Island, that's one of my favorites. I am ranting, apparently. I'm going to do Wednesday Wisdom in a minute. Hang on. But I guess I needed a rant. And I'm working seriously without a net here. I got a couple of things over here, but this is just a stream of consciousness, thoughts cascading down a waterfall of creativity or something. But these reality shows, you know, being in the media as long as I have, you know, you get to see behind the scenes how things work. And so you put a bunch of people on an island. It's deadly out there. They could all die. There's a production crew right over here eating lunch. So the human mind has a real difficult time separating what I wish you could. Those are reality fingers. I'm tapping on the microphone. I wish you could see us. I'm doing, the quote fingers around the word reality. We have a difficult time deciding and discerning what reality is. We've been groomed to turn on a television show that's got highly paid actors playing a SWAT team member. What's going to happen next in the SWAT show? Okay, whatever. So while I am all for entertainment and stress relief, that's all well and good. The problem is the downside of that, the ripple effect for that, in my observation, opinion, and experience, is that we pay the price because it blurs the line in everything else we do. So we have, in my humble opinion, a president. It's not even a humble opinion. In my opinion, we have a president who, you know, really rode the wave of his reality show personality, which was highly produced, and it makes someone appear different than they really are. So here I am in the vaunted studios of the Life 2.0 podcast, and I'm going through all these little things that I wanted to talk about in my head, and these are, you know, tidbits I pick up here and there. Things that I don't understand, like how somebody brings their cell phone into the gym in the morning and sits there for 20 minutes texting, listening to music, watching videos, and not working out. But hey, it's their $35 a month, whatever you want to do with it. I am always amazed and flattered and a bit confused when I go to the deli to get some cheese or some cold cuts, and the deli person looks and says, "Is this okay? Is this thin enough? Do you want your cut a little thicker?" What a country we live in, where someone at the deli, you're buying, you know, a pound of bologna over here. "Is this okay, sir? Is this cut well enough for you?" "Well, sure, that's just fine." So my mind picks up all these little tidbits, and it tries to make some sense out of these senseless things. Growing up, no one ever asked me or my mom or my dad when I went to the butcher shop if the meat was cut okay. Maybe they did, I don't remember it. And of course, I grew up in the Oscar Mayer bologna era, so everything came out of a plastic little container, so maybe that's part of the problem. I want it cut just like the Oscar Mayer bologna. Can you do that? Then we're okay. So all this stuff has kind of been piling up back and forth here and there, and I'm thinking about the Wednesday rant, and I realize I don't want to just get pissed off and worked up. I do that enough. I don't need to pass that on. That doesn't help anybody that's listening, and surely doesn't make anything easier for me. So I have, as I've mentioned probably too many times, but I have all this audio sitting here, and some of it's on disc and some of it's on cassette, and obviously the sound quality is very different. And I'm going through all these things, and last week, the Freebie Friday, was Tim Evans doing Harry karaoke. And I got so much, you know, messages and things on Facebook of how people enjoyed it. They needed a laugh. Really important stuff. In the same vein, or maybe the next vein over in the arm, I wrote a lengthy thing on Facebook last week about Viktor Frankl and his time in the concentration camps in Auschwitz, and when he wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning, and how without purpose in life, you're already in prison and you don't even know it. And I got to tell you, even though you find your purpose, it doesn't mean life gets easy. It just makes it bearable, in my opinion, observation, and experience. So I'll have people come back that have known me most of my life, and they say the thing that they're looking for the most, they've been unable to find. They have a family, they have a job, they're doing whatever, but they don't feel like they have a purpose in life. And that sucks, rocks. Because the human math TED talk I did last year alludes to that, that the odds of being born are 1 in 400 trillion. So there's probably a purpose here besides arguing about what's going on in Washington, D.C. Or you can. It's a choice. So in all of that, even though I got a little ranting done here and I feel better, thank you very much, I found this, see these discs, they're marked, but they're not, they don't have the guest name on them. So I got to listen to all this stuff. And there's probably 35 or 40 of these CDs from shows I did on Oprah Radio, Sirius XM 156. And I came across one that I thought, this is just what I need to hear. And maybe you do too. So the setup is this. Probably back in the early, maybe late 70s even, early 80s, somewhere in there, I met a gentleman named, I know when I met him, I just don't know when he gave me the book, but I met a gentleman named Dan Creeley when I first went to Northeastern Illinois University back in 19, Jimmy Carter was president. And I took a couple of his classes. He's an incredible guy, does a lot of outdoor education and things like that. And we're still friends to this day, you know, like 400 years later. At some point in all of our relationship, probably, I'm guessing when I came back to school out of the service, probably in the mid-80s, 86, somewhere in there, 85, 86, he gave me a book and he said, you ought to read this. And I would notice when I went into his office that he had these rhinos everywhere, little clay rhinos. He had this one rhino, it was like a muscular rhino. And he had like a rhino sign. And I've always been a rhino aficionado. But there was something about these rhinos. I'm like, what is the deal? Because you got to read this book. So the book was and is called Rhinoceros Success by a fellow named Scott Alexander. It's not, it can't be more than 100 pages. And it was just this little book with some really interesting little illustrations in there. And it just kind of really made the point that in life, there's only two kind of people, which you'll hear about in just a few minutes, and you have to make a choice of who you're going to be. And maybe when you make that choice of who you're going to be, a rhino charging forward no matter what, you're able to take a little break, walk off to the side, chew some grass, and come back and keep charging, or you're going to be a cow in the field, standing in your own shit, wondering what the hell's going to happen next. And somewhere in between the two is where I think most of us go. I've been a cow many times in my life. Not proud of it, but I'll admit it right up front. There have been times I just stood there going, I don't get it. And there are still some days I go, I don't get it. And then I come across this stuff. So Dan gave me the book. I read it when I first got in radio in the late 90s. One of the first 20 people I had on the radio as a guest was this guy, Scott Alexander. And it was friggin' hilarious. So I'll tell you a little bit more about him on the backside of this. But this is from, let me see, this is from March 18th, 2009. Here's a couple of segments of Oprah Radio with Scott Alexander.
You're listening to Oprah Radio.
Woo! Back at it on Oprah Radio, I can't help it. Jim Croce, fine gentleman, died long before his time. Had a hell of a mustache, by the way. Anyway, John St. Augustine and Oprah. I used to have a hell of a mustache. I keep it really short these days. Back in the 80s, I had one, and I was playing semi-pro football back then, and I grew this really huge mustache, and they called me the Walrus. That's a whole nother show. But back in the 80s, I was given an amazing book by a really an amazing guy. And I picked up this little book and it was just a paperback, you know, and I started going through it and it seemed first to make me laugh. I thought, who in the heck would write a book like this?
And then I started going through this book, and I thought, you know, I've read the classics. I've read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and I've read all of Dr. Hill's writings, and I've read the stuff by Earl Nightingale, and, you know, on and on. I thought, what could this add to my repertoire as a human on the planet at this particular time? So by the time I read the book, I wanted to go back and reread it again, and then I wanted to reread it again. And then I wanted to reread it again. And the reason for that is it got me stoked up and started to think about parts of myself that had been, well, let me put it this way. According to Scott Alexander, there are two type of people in the world. And they're just, the metaphorically speaking, they're animals. You're either a cow, which is, you know, you're kind of just moseying along and following the herd and chewing your cud and standing by the fence and not doing a whole heck of a lot, but complaining how you're just standing by the fence and not a whole lot happens. Then you have these other people who are rhinos, and those rhinos have a horn as well, but the horn's in a little different place. These rhinos are people who are moving through the jungle. They got some thick skin. They're starting to snort and grunt and starting to paw at the earth a little bit. They ain't standing by the fence chewing their cud, and they're moving, and they're making things happen, and they're knocking through the bushes and all this stuff. And I started reading this. I thought, I want to be a rhino. I don't want to be a cow. I want to be a rhino. So I, years later, had read the book, I don't know, I've stopped counting how many times I've read Rhinoceros Success and reread it. And finally, when the time came, God, it had to be 15 years later before I had my own radio show in Michigan, I finally tracked down the guy that wrote this amazing book. His name's Scott Alexander. And I would be remiss, and I'd be a cow, if I didn't have him on my new show on Oprah Radio. And Scott joins me this morning. Hello, Rhino Man.
Hey, John. Good to be back with you again.
Hey, partner. It has been a long time.
Yes. Well, congratulations on all your success.
You know, I remember calling you when I was leaving my show in Michigan and telling you I was heading to Harpo to do the Oprah Channel. And, you know, you said, well, I'm not surprised because you're a rhino.
Yes. Who would read the rhino book so many times?
Well, for the nine people on the planet who haven't read it, by the way, it's sold over 3 million copies these days. And I want to be clear about this, because if you go on Google to find Rhinoceros Success, you can find it out there. It is, in fact, still in print, right, Scott?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is what I like about this guy. Quick, short, right-to-the-point answers. He doesn't pontificate at all.
And we also sell them on eBay, too.
So I'm going to go back to probably, I was given the book probably 86, 87, somewhere. The book had already been out a few years. And I remember reading this, and I was so struck with the simplicity of it. But before we get into the book, you had to be a person who made a transition in your life to actually even write this book. So my first question to you was, and for the people, again, that have not read this book, what was your like before you figured out you were a rhino? And then why did you write the book as a rhino?
Well, I was like you. I read all the self-help books, all the Think and Grow Rich. I started in high school, actually. I picked up a book called Your Greatest Power when I was in high school and read that. And I remember my friend came in and he said, what are you reading, a book on earthquakes? He thought, and I go, no. And, you know, the greatest power is your power to choose. You know, are you going to be happy today? Are you going to be sad? You know, everybody makes these decisions all day. And
mm-hmm.
It kind of got me started in a habit of reading motivational books. So through high school, I was reading all that stuff. So I was filled with it. And it kind of, I don't know if I was born an entrepreneur or if that sparked it, but I knew I just wanted to get out of school and I wanted to start my own businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, I did not like sitting around in school. I wanted to get out and do things. I suddenly was motivated. I wanted to make money. I wanted to build businesses. And so I met a girl who I made my girlfriend because she could bathe and clip dogs. And I said, hey, let's start a dog grooming shop, and we'll call it Kim's Grooming. And she loved that because her name was Kim. And, and this is where I first got into the study of motivation, because I couldn't clip any dogs. I had to do something.
Yeah.
So my job was to motivate her. Go, 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 clip another one. And
How long did that last? About a week?
Well, that lasted about 6 months. She was such a perfectionist. No matter how much I pumped her up, she could only do about 3 dogs a day.
Slacker.
But, at that point, you know, when you're in high school, you can do anything because you don't have anything to lose. You don't have any kids to feed. You don't have car payments, house payments.
Yeah.
So I really encourage kids to get started on you know, having their businesses early, because that's the time to do it. That's when you can fail and you get up and you try again.
Yeah.
And then eventually, about three or four businesses after that, I started a mobile auto wash business. I had a little pickup truck, and I went and washed cars in the executives' parking lots. I was the first guy to do that. They're all over the place now.
Yeah.
This was back in the late 70s.
Too bad you couldn't have made that a franchise. We wouldn't be having this conversation. You'd be on a boat somewhere with your name on the back.
You're right. So, you know, I did that for about 3 years, but it wasn't enough for me. I wanted a big shop. You know, I always thought, well, if you're a businessman, you got to have a big office and secretaries and phones. And
yeah.
And so we rented a big place by the airport down there. And in about 6 months, I lost all my money. We were kicked out of the place. My wife and I at that time were kicked out of our apartment. We just lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was kind of at this point where I was all, oh, you know, here I was. I had my goals. I had the Rolls Royce pictured on the ceiling.
Yeah.
You know, I was doing everything right. I was dressing for success. I wasn't sticking knives in toasters. thinking positive. But yet I was broke, you know, and I don't know if you've ever lost all your money, but it kind of knocks the enthusiasm out of you. You start to, you know, get all, oh, man, and that's the point I was at, and I realized, you know, I got to get out there and get going on another business. So I started writing Rhinoceros Success for myself because I knew what I needed, and that was to have the thick skin to get out there and charge. Originally when I started it, you know, it was just a little thing I was writing for myself to pump myself up, and
mm-hmm.
I was taking different characteristics of different animals, you know, like they have soar like the eagle and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I had all these different animals. But when I got to the rhino, I mean, the rhino was perfect because the rhino weighs 6,000 pounds. He's got all this mass behind him.
Yeah.
He's got the 2-inch thick skin to put up with all the problems and
yeah.
the setbacks.
Yeah, go for it.
He's got the hot, muggy rhino breath,
yeah.
you know? So it was perfect. And then there's the cows. They're the opposite. You know, when you're feeling depressed, you know, that's when you're starting to get into a cow state. So I just abandoned all the other animals and went full on rhino.
Full rhino.
Yes.
Yes, the full rhino. Listen, so I'm trying to imagine you as a young fella just writing this for yourself and all that, and then to see what your face must look like when you came upon the rhino concept and the cow concept. There's, you know, and I'm probably jumping the shark here, which is a terrible term. Nobody jumps the shark. Or if they do, it's only one time. But the point is, I can imagine where you must look back now and go, I started this for myself. And you hear this all the time. People who start with their own hobby because they want to do it makes them feel good. Some weird way, the universe takes care of the details. Next thing you know, you sell 3 million copies. When you look back on it now and you were doing it for yourself, there was no way you could predict this was going to happen. But do you ever look back and go, man, I'm sure glad that I lost all my money?
Well, I have a philosophy that everything always works out for the best anyway, so, you know, it and that helps, you know, because when you're going through things that you think, how can this possibly be for the best? If you're thinking it's going to work out for the best, it helps you get over those obstacles. But, you know, John, that I was 23 years old at that point. I was just a stupid, broke kid. I didn't have any money, and you know, but I had all this enthusiasm and all this motivation and all this desire and dreams, and I was, after I just printed the book, I started getting out there and going to give talks to anybody that would listen, and I had 1,000 copies printed up, and it took me about 2 years to get rid of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I was speaking to all these you know, real estate groups and insurance groups and business organizations, and there was one group I remember. It was a bunch of young business owners, and it was Secretary Day, and they had all brought their secretaries in, and they were all drinking, and they were all drunk. And here's this 23-year-old guy up there giving, be a rhino, and all this stuff, and all of a sudden this roll comes flying at me, and I just, it didn't faze me at all. I just kept going, and then all of a sudden napkins and food was being thrown at me, and these guys were having a great time, and my wife was in the front row, she was crying. But I'm thinking back, I was thinking, what was I? I totally had thick skin. It didn't bother me at all. You know, I mean, all I wanted to do was sell a couple books, and if I could do that, I was happy.
And they were throwing the board of fare at you.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
That's
so,
really funny.
Yeah, so So it was hard those first couple years, mostly because I was young. I remember doing a radio interview, and it was down in Los Angeles, and I went in my three-piece suit, and the guy says, "What gives you the right to write a book on success?" You know?
Yeah.
And that was a good question, but you know, for me, success is the minute you have a goal, the minute you have a dream, a desire, and you become a rhino and you get out there in the jungle. That's success. It's the success is going out and charging after something, you know, not sitting around in the pasture like the cows. Oh man, this is the economy's so bad. Moo. You know, they're all stepping in each other's manure. That's the most exciting day for the cows is when they get led off to the slaughterhouse. You know, you don't want to be in that situation. So the minute you turn that switch on inside of you and say, dadgummit, I'm going to be a rhino. I'm going to get out and charge. I'm going to change the world. I'm going to do big things and build businesses and, you know, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's success.
Well, listen, yeah, you're something else. You know, we're going to take a break here in a minute, but when we come back, I want to talk about, we'll do a couple things. We're going to talk about some of the areas, how you apply the rhinoceros rhetoric and relativity in your family life or even your financial life, maybe your spiritual life, and then maybe a little test to see people listening today if they're a cow or a rhino. And, you know, you're going to have to fess up at some point because, you know, that my mom used to say, birds of a feather flock together. Did you ever hear that, Scott?
Yep.
Yeah, and then she'd say, if you don't like the flock you're with, tell them to flock off. So, and this show, we're going to talk about cows and rhinos. You know, they both have horns. It depends on where they're situated, and it depends, I think, on what direction they're going. And when we come back from this break, I'm going to talk about that, and then perhaps a little rhino test and a little cow test, because these are the days we need to find our way through the jungle. If there's never been a time, these are the times. You can't just be standing around in your manure. I mean, please. You know, Scott, you ever think about that? You know, I don't know how many tons of beef are consumed a day, but, you know, and I like to sit down to a nice cheeseburger, but the fact that these animals most of the time stand around in their waste product does nothing for me.
Right.
Exactly.
Being a cow is lower than whale dropping. This show is going downhill.
Yes,
fast,
it is.
Huh, John?
It is. You know, I really appreciate it. No wonder I only have you on every 5 years. Scott Alexander joining me on Oprah Radio. We're talking about his phenomenal book. You need to read it and laugh just like we are about all the challenges in our lives. It's called Rhinoceros Success by the one and only Scott Alexander. He's an incredible guy. And you know the best thing about that book? It reminded me that I'm an incredible person as well. And to bring all that to the table is really what we're here to do. We'll take a short time out. Take care of the people that take care of us.
You're listening to Oprah Radio.
If you're ready to really do life instead of life really doing you, then you are right where you're supposed to be. Here's John St. Augustine.
Helping you live your best life on Oprah Radio.
For sure, heaven only knows, but so does Scott Rhino Man Alexander. He is the author of the book Rhinoceros Success, has sold over 3 million copies. No mainstream publicity. It's not, he did go on a bunch of authors, book signings, no big advertising budget. By word of mouth over the past 20 some odd years, this book has just done amazing things in people's lives. I want to just read this off one of the Amazon.com sites because I think it really speaks to what Scott's work's all about and how the smallest and simplest things in our lives can often turn out to be the most powerful. This reader or this reviewer says, the book is told in storybook form and tells us that in the world we have cows and rhinos. The cows graze in the pasture with other cows. They're unwilling to take a chance of success. They're thinking that success only comes to those who are lucky or they're not just cut out to be successful. Many of these cows just live their lives in fear, as Scott said, waiting to go to the slaughterhouse, kind of what Emerson talked about with men leading lives of quiet desperation. Then there are the rhinos. These guys and gals, unlike the cows, they take charge. They're focused. They're unafraid, thick-skinned, unstoppable. They take massive action towards accomplishing their dreams and goals because they understand that success is there for the taking if only one brings to bear the right training, mindset, and work ethic. And the author of Rhinoceros Success and three other books, Scott Alexander, joining me. Scott, are you there? My teeth are falling out.
Yes,
can you
hear?
Can you hear me?
It all sounds very good. Sounds like something I want to read.
I was saying I'm stumbling over my words because I think my rhino horn is lengthening and my teeth are shifting.
You're getting 2-inch thick gums.
Yes, you get that muggy rhino breath going. But no kidding, if you walk into my house in Michigan, or you walk into my office in Chicago, or you get in my vehicle, there's a rhino somewhere. I have rhinos hanging off my mirror. They're not full size, by the way. That would crush my car. But then I have in my office rhino crossing signs. And then I remember years ago, Scott, you were kind enough, you sent me some hand-carved rhinos from Africa.
Wow.
You don't remember? You must forgot that part.
Well,
they were great.
Now, John, it's funny, like when you were describing how when you read the book, my theory is that you were always a rhino, and when you read that, it just struck a chord with you.
I became even more rhino-like, is what you're saying.
Well, I think you were always a rhino. If you look back at what you did as a kid, did you have paper routes? You collected coins?
Well, hold on a second, Scott. Let's take a little test. I'll be the test subject here real quick, because this is an easy way to find out cow or no cow, rhino or no rhino. So let's first do the cow test, because if you're listening to this show, and if you can answer, can you do a cow test for me, Scott?
Yeah. Is this something I know?
Hey, Scott, here's a better idea. Can you do a rhino test? Then if you don't answer yes to any of these, you're a cow. I'll just do that way.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I'll be the test subject.
Well, first of all, think back on when you were a kid.
Okay, hold on. I'm thinking. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Did you have a paper route?
Yes, I did.
Bingo.
I'm a rhino.
Well, you had rhino tendencies. I mean, I'll bet you collected something like coins or stamps or.
I did.
Something.
I collected stamps, coins, and various food items.
There you go. See, I'm batting 100 here. And then, you probably did you do entrepreneurial tendencies like build forts or have shows?
Oh yeah.
Shows?
Absolutely. Forts, shows, Kool-Aid stands, you name it.
There you go. I forgot about the Kool-Aid stands. You know, the kids that do that, they got like that rhino spark inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kids that grow up and they start things in high school or college, and then they build businesses and they become successful. A lot of people will say, oh, Scott, I read your book and it changed my life. But I don't really think that's how it happens. I think that these people are already rhinos, and then they just realize, hey, I'm a rhino and not a cow. This is great. And that's why they're so excited about it.
But this begs, this is the chicken or the egg challenge, is it, Mr. Alexander? Because we've done many shows and always comes to a certain point where I say, Scott, wait a minute. So if you have rhino-like tendencies when you're like a little baby rhino guy, right? And,
yeah.
You know, your horn's on the front of your nose, but it's just a little nub. It's not a full rhino horn yet. And then you're hanging out with the little cow kids. You know, you can kind of tell who's who. The cow kids are in the corner, oh, I don't want to eat and all that stuff, or
yeah.
I don't want to go to class and blah, blah, blah. But can you, how does the transformation occur? Is it possible, sir, that you could be a rhino when you were a kid, turn out to be a cow, and could you be a cow when you were a kid and grow up to be a rhino?
Well, definitely. I think a lot of it is, like you say, the flock, the hanging around with the rhinos, as you associate, so you become. And you know it's true. I know it's true. When I go do these talks for groups and I'm hanging around 1,000 ultra-motivated people, I come home, I'm like a light bulb, that can't be turned off, because you've been hanging around all these rhinos. But then you watch the TV or you read the newspapers. Oh, boy, it's getting bad. Then you start to get all, holy mackerel, what am I? I'm just going to go in my room and lay in the fetal position and just wait till this all passes. It really affects you. So the important thing is to look for the rhinos that are out there and having fun and enjoying life and making things happen and get around them and don't. I mean, the hard thing is there's so many cows. Most of the time they're in your family too, and that makes it hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how do you deal with that? Let's say you go to a family gathering, you're a rhino, you got your horn all polished up, you're charging along, and then you run into a bunch of cows, you want to tell them about your latest adventure, and they're like, oh, that'll never work.
I had that growing up, with, I'm going to start a mobile auto wash, everybody's all, what? you can't do that. They're not going to let you wash cars out in the parking lots. And, you know, it's just one negative thing after another. And when are you going to get a real job? And and then I'm going to do this rhino thing. Now I'm going to turn people. I'm going to sell a book called Rhinoceros. Oh, boy. What happened to Scott? He must have got dropped on his head when he was a baby. And, you know, you just, I guess you just learn to let the cows, you know, let it go over your head and just realize that there's 95 cows for every 5 rhinos. So they're out there. And we love everybody. We love the cows. We just don't want to be one of them.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, and if we can help, if a cow wants help and wants to get out of the pasture, sure, you know, we'd love to help them. We need more rhinos out in the jungle right now. Well, a lot of the cows, too, have this attitude of, oh, you're a rhino, huh? And you step on your friends to get where you want to go. And see, they got this convoluted, weird, perverted sense of success. You know, success means you've got to give to get. And the more you give, the more you're going to get. That's the free enterprise system.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the cows, they're not giving anything. They just take. They want. They need. They give me. Feed me. Give me a 2-week vacation. How about a 15-minute break? You know, it goes on and on. Just give me. Whereas the rhinos are the people that are out there building things and giving and producing and making things happen. And, and, you know, success is not this little piece of pie that we're all splitting up. That's not how success is. Is the more you give, the more you create. And cows don't understand that, so they just keep hanging around with each other, complaining and whining. And
we don't need any more of that. Hey, what do you think? Wall Street, cows or rhinos?
Rhinos.
Okay, but misguided rhinos, I suppose, at some point.
Well, I think, you know, anybody that's out there doing anything is a rhino. You know, there's people that I wish were, you know, doing things a little bit different that are rhinos, because a rhino just means you have the desire, you have the energy, you're out there changing the world. You know, you're not changing it the way I would want you to change it.
Doing things. But, you know, when you think about the rhinos, you know, they don't have very good eyesight, but they can sure smell things very good. So there you go with that, right?
They can smell things?
Well, yeah, they have a great sense of smell. Their eyesight's not so great because that big horn in the middle. So maybe
sometimes you don't want to see anyway, you know? you don't want to see the obstacles. In the book, I say there's this expression called damn the torpedoes.
Yes.
And that's the expression you have to have as a rhino. You wake up in the morning and you say, damn the torpedoes. Now, excuse that little bit of a swear word in there, but it really, it conveys the sense of the attitude that you have to have, and that is dang the torpedoes. You know, and the torpedoes are the frustrations, the setbacks, the obstacles.
Yep.
And I'm a little bit different in a lot of these success guys.
Wait a minute, I couldn't tell. Really?
Well, I believe success is difficult, where a lot of them will say, well, if you think it's easy, it's easy. But, you know, think about it, John. If success were easy, if anybody could automatically become a success, it wouldn't be success, right? It'd be mediocrity.
We have a lot of that.
Yes, mediocrity is easy.
Yes.
You just sit at home and watch As the World Turns and eat Danish pastry and, you know, drop a little manure. But, you know, it's easy being mediocre. But if you want to be successful, you have to go out and do something. And
that's
you
right.
have to charge.
Listen, you got to give me a minute here because I'm not used to you. I forgot how this happens. When you get on a roll, and what happens to me when I listen to you get on a roll. Because, folks, if you're joining us late, shame on you. Now, if you're joining us late, when Scott Alexander was just a mere 23 years old, he wrote a book called Rhinoceros Success, and over 3 million people around the world have picked this very small, simple paperback book up, and it has really made their lives a whole lot better. And, there, you know, I got to say it, Scott, I mean, no disrespect, this is not a deep book. I mean, this is about getting motivated right now, and if sometimes... You know, I'm of the mindset it's great to be zen-like and do all the navel glazing reflecting you want, but sometimes if you look too deep in the pond, you fall in. And what I'm saying is sometimes you can just see what's on the surface and take that and use that and move forward. And I think for me, that's what Rhino Success did. It's like, look, you know, your time is short. You need to get charging. You can't sit around waiting for someone to come in and turn the lights on. You got to get up and do it yourself.
Wow, John.
You're
getting me going, man.
That's it. But listen, here's what I want to do. One of the things that I had always enjoyed over the years when we did shows is you would always take the time during a show to induct someone into the Rhino Hall of Fame. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, we have found someone. We have Camillo the intern, who is he's part of the team here at Harpo Radio, and he's volunteered to step up so you can kind of grill him a little bit. You can walk him through it. I know it's been a long time since you've done the induction, but do you have it in you, Scott? Can you do one more?
Of course I can. Yes. What's his name?
Camillo. Camillo.
I'm right Camillo? Here. I'm here.
Yeah, it's
Camillo.
Camillo. Yes.
So what do you do there, Camillo?
Well, I'm an intern here at Harpo Radio, so all the dirty work goes to me.
All right. So you know the basic philosophy here. The rhinos are the chargers, and the cows are the whiners and the rationalizers and the complainers.
Definitely.
And you sound like a rhino to me, are you?
Oh, I'm in the transition right now, full-fledged rhino.
Okay. And you got the desire, you got the dreams, you got the goals?
Definitely.
I just don't want to, induct somebody that didn't need to be inducted. Okay, so what I want you to do, Camilo, is put your hand to your heart.
You mean his hoof, right?
No, put your hand to your heart because that's where all those blood cells are pumping through.
I thought you said it was a hoof, but it's his hand.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Scott, it's the hoof.
Yeah.
All right, it's on my heart.
All right, now as those blood cells are pumping through your heart, you tell them, damn the torpedoes. You know, I'm a rhino. I'm going to keep charging, and I'm going to change the world and make things better.
Damn the torpedoes.
Okay.
I'm going to keep
charging.
Are you thinking
rhino?
Yes, I am.
Don, you do this, too.
Okay, hold on. I got my hoof. Everybody out there, put your hooves over your hearts.
Yes.
Go for it.
With the authority vested in me by the powers of rhinocerology, I now pronounce you all full-grown, thick-skinned, charging, audacious rhinoceroses. Congratulations. Now let's hear a rhino grunt. Camilo, did you grunt? There you go. Perfect.
That's a rhino grunt.
How's his skin looking, John? Is it thickening up?
He's looking. You know, his nostrils are widening. He's got a horn coming out. He's looking all right from here. Hey, I want him to do that rhino grunt one more time. I've never heard a rhino sound like that. Camilo, can you do it one more time?
You just wake up in the morning and you grunt, and then you get out there.
Oh, boy. Scott, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you had mentioned that the book is just a simple thing, and really, I'm amazed at these complicated motivational books that psycho-neuro-cybernetic programming, those sort of things where you think, holy mackerel, if you got to read this to get motivated, you're really in sad shape. Nike had that commercial, just do it. That's all it boils down to, you know? Just do it. That's what being a rhino is all about, is just get up in the morning and get out there and take action. That's what rhinos are famous for, is charging.
Well, you know, now you know why all these years later that I've asked you to come on the show, because if there was a time in our brief history on the planet, this little corner of Earth, that we need to start becoming rhinos and start charging and not waiting for a stimulus package. The only stimulus package you need is this show, the Saturday morning stimulus package. All the rest, if you're waiting for the $13 to come into your pocket, you're a cow. You need to get out there and start moving forward, coming up with ideas, being creative, because to me, the universe meets you halfway, if not further, when you get moving. When I wrote Living an Uncommon Life, I put a whole chapter in there about what it's like to get on the yellow brick road. You remember the Munchkins would come out? I'm the mayor of Munchkin Land. Well, he didn't come out until she was on the path. And until you get on the path, the Munchkins aren't coming. Most of us these days don't even know there's a path. And you got to go out there and put your foot on it and start moving forward. And when you do that, things start happening for you. So to me, that is the key. When you watch The Wizard of Oz, which is, you know, you go rent it now. Back in the day, you'd had to wait for Thanksgiving to show up and be able to watch a thing. But when you look at the path in the Yellow Brick Road, I know it's just me, but this is how it is. That path starts with a little, the slightest splotch of yellow as it starts to come out in gold. And you got to look for that little beginning, because you can't wait for the full-blown path. More than likely, if you're waiting for that to show up, they're going to end up in the obituary pages before everything all's lined up. When you're worried about getting all your ducks lined up in a row, don't, because as soon as you put a duck up, life shoots one down. You got to keep moving, and that's what Rhino Success is all about. It's what Scott Alexander's all about. Scott, the other two books, I don't have time to go into them, but the titles are?
Advanced Rhinocerology, and then the third one is Rhinocerotic Relativity.
Very deep, very
yes,
deep.
Very, very complicated.
Very complicated, very deep, and very, very, very deep. God, it's always...
John, it's a jungle out there. That's the thing to remember. And, you know, it's... And I love that yellow brick road thing, because that's true. Is you just get started. You can't wait for conditions to be perfect. And
right.
I think a lot of people think, well, when the economy clears up, I'll get started. You know, you don't wait for anything to clear up. You just get out there and start now, you know. That's the Rhino way, is just do with what you have and get out and make things happen.
Well, that's exactly what Scott Alexander done his whole life. The name of the book is Rhinoceros Success. I know they're a little hard to come by in some places. You can go to eBay for sure and pick up a copy. Scott, let's not make it another 5 years before we talk, okay?
No way.
you take
Call
care.
Me in an hour.
I will. You take care. Thanks, Scott.
All right. Keep charging.
I will. The name of the book again, Rhinoceros Success. It's about developing that 2-inch thick skin. It's about moving forward no matter what's put in your path. And also having compassion for the other animals you spend time with in the jungle. John St. Augustine on Oprah Radio, XM 156, Sirius 195. Back after this.
You need rhino skin if you're gonna begin to walk through this world.
I don't know about you, but that's some good stuff. I'm ready to start pawing at the ground, you know, tuning up my horn a little bit, put my ears back. I know my eyesight's not that great, but my hearing's really good. And you got to keep charging forward no matter what. And that's something that gets lost in all the diversions of life. I've done it. I needed to hear this again. Front and center, first chair trumpet today. I needed to hear this again. Because it's too easy to start looking outside of yourself, especially if the volume's on and the television, that stuff will consume you. I always say, if you spend your business and other people's business, you'll end up going out of business. You know what I'm saying? It's like it'd be all that's going on in the news and all that stuff. It's like standing in an eternal checkout line with all those magazines. It's all crap. It's all about other people's lives. Oh, look how great. No, that's not it. It's about building your own life right where you're at, starting where you're at, moving forward no matter what. And it's okay to stop and take a break. It's okay to stop and assess yourself. But then you dust off and you keep moving. So I needed to hear this today. It's great stuff. And here's the backside of that. I think about doing radio in 99, 2000, 2001, 02, before the huge onslaught, really, of how the media is today, unsocial media is today. And there were at least a place to hide. There wasn't a billion channels. You didn't have everything coming through your phone 24/7. But as things have ramped up, we have not kept up with it. Our technology far surpasses our humanity. And I don't know that we can ever get past what we've created as far as technical gadgets, but we have to figure out a way to at least keep up. In the end, as in the beginning, these podcasts to me are reminders of how important that is. You know, I talked earlier in this show about the things I just don't get, and it's about these choices, you know. So, I don't know, is that bologna cut good enough for me? I don't know. What was that? So I was buying lettuce today. There's 97 types of lettuce. Which is the right lettuce for today? I kind of got to think of that. And all these choices going on, and especially when these television commercials come out about these cell phones, it's astonishing to me. Now, look, I get that I'm not even a rhino all the time. I'm mostly a stegosaurus. And I'm plodding along, should have been extinct a long time ago. Uncommon sense keeps me alive, probably longer than I should be. And I see this stuff, and I see people chasing these your whole life is in here. Here, quick, get this. It's faster. You'll be fabulous. What? And I think about this friend of mine who worked for me at Oprah Radio. It was a huge lesson for her, and I was so proud of her. We were in taping Dr. Oz's show one day, and she came in late. She was one of my producers. And I said, well, you know, so what's the deal? You're like 45 minutes late. She goes, well, I was standing in line to get a new cell phone. Standing in line to get a phone? What planet are you from? And she went on to tell me that there was, again, this is 7-8 years ago, she was whatever carrier she was with or whatever the deal was, she was a customer, and she went to get this phone, and the phone was like $150. It was this huge, fabulous discount, and she had to wait in line because everybody wanted to get this phone. She waits in line, and she gets to the front and finds out it's only for new customers. She didn't read the fine print. And if she wanted the phone, it was $500. That's $500 for a phone. We really don't, why don't you just buy a movie camera? Because that's what you use it for, right? It's not a phone. Making phone calls is really like the last thing we use these for. So they need to call it something else. Anyway, she said, at that moment, John, you came into my head. And I could hear your voice going, really? $500? And I said to her, I'm not even going to say it. Yeah, $500. So I don't believe she bought the phone. We're, you know, we still stay in contact today, and I don't bust her on that anymore. But it really shows how you can get hooked in the cheek and hooked in the nose with this stuff that has nothing to do with really as who you are as a human being. I got a friend of mine. If you listen to the very first podcast I did with Greg Daniels back on Memorial Day, the man has a flip phone. I shit you not. And he's got one in reserve in a box. He has a flip phone he uses now, and he's got a new one in a box in case this one takes a dump. That's my kind of fella. And so before I let you bug out today, here is one of the Earth Matters that I actually did. Bill was on vacation. You know, since 1988, Shark Week has been on the Discovery Channel. Millions of people watch this. Okay, whatever. After you've seen Jaws, what else do you need to see? But I started doing Rhino Week to offset Shark Week. So here is, I think it's episode 275 about the rhino. A human belief system that has been developed over decades is not easily changed, even when it causes the annihilation of a species. 100 years ago, there were an estimated 500,000 rhinoceros roaming the earth. They were abundant in Africa and Asia, and they had no known enemies. Until one day, when a rumor started in the early 1970s that the horn of this incredible beast somehow had magical powers to cure everything from headaches to erectile dysfunction. The numbers plummeted to just 70,000 in a few years, and now there are less than 30,000 animals left as of 2014, all due to a lie. There's nothing magical about the rhino horn. It's made up of the same stuff your fingernails are. But as we know, if a lie is repeated enough and there is serious money to be made, greed takes precedence over conservation. Unlike species that died out over time due to natural selection, the rhino teeters on the brink of extinction because of human selection. I'm John St. Augustine, and rhinos matter. So I appreciate the subscribers supporting this work and allowing this to be out in the world and do what it needs to do. And it allows for these Freebie Fridays to jump up. This particular one, of course, is for subscribers only. So spread the word if you would. And I put a plug up the other day, and I don't even like this end of the business, but it's a business. I appreciate you putting up $20 a month, $5 a week, 66 cents a day. There's my PBS rollout. And I likened it to this. For $20, you can go to Starbucks and buy one of those Laca Mocha Choca Chocolate, I think, or Laca de Lattes, or some sort of weird biscuit with ham stuffed in it and spend $20. You could go to 7-Eleven and get like a week's worth of, you know, tortilla chips or something with some hot cheese. Or you could order a large sausage pizza. That's not a bad idea. Or you could do this. And I appreciate you doing this. Until next time, safe travels. Adios.